If you have your Bibles with you today, we are in the third week in a four-week sermon series that we are thinking about deeper faith. And today we turn from the 17th chapter of Luke, where we've been the last 2 weeks, to the 18th chapter of Luke. I wish Luke would do this more often. He tells us what the story is about before he gives us the story, which I think is very helpful as a preacher and as a worshiper. And we find these words in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Let me give you just a moment to turn there. Are we ready? Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. That's what it's about. Thank you, Luke, for giving us that introduction to the sentence. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, open this word to us this morning. May it be a powerful word. May it be an encouraging word. May it be a word that tells us about our prayer lives that we are not to lose heart, that we serve a God who loves us dearly. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. The judge owned a very nice house. Out front, there was a gate, the kind that when you got close enough to it, if you had a device in your car, would automatically open to you. It was the kind of gate that if you went to it and you were visiting, you punched in a certain code and the doors would open. It was a nice house. Out back, there was a nice swimming pool with an outside kitchen. Outside kitchen. I'd like that one day, you know. An outside kitchen with all the latest gadgets and the best grill and all the utensils, all those things. He drove a nice car. He wore nice clothes. He had a membership at the country club. He was on boards and agencies all across town. And he was dishonest. His mother knew it. His kids knew it. His preacher knew it. Everybody in town knew it. And God knew it. None of that bothered him, though. He was good with it. He didn't think about God very often, if at all. And he didn't care what anyone else thought. Jesus says this about him: in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. I guess that's who he was. That's how he was made up. That's how he operated his life, and everybody knew it. God did not enter into his deliberations between right and wrong, good and bad, and the judge was not afraid of him and not afraid of people. And our lesson continues. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. Now, we know she wanted justice, right? The Bible is clear. She wanted justice. Jesus doesn't tell us what that justice would have looked like. Now, we can take a guess here. I mean, she was a widow, and that meant that any property that her husband owned, she was not entitled to. It would have belonged to her son if she had a son. If she didn't have a son, that property would have belonged to her brothers-in-law, and she could live there as long as she wanted to live there for as long as she lived. That was the law. We don't know what the problem is, what she's asking for, but I can tell you, choir, there's a problem, or it wouldn't have made it into the Bible. And our Bibles are clear about this, how we are to treat orphans and widows. The book of James gives us this line, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to be unstained by the world. My guess is nobody's taking care of her. No one is caring for her. And so she goes to the judge and asks what is right and what should be, what kind of judgment she should get. Now, I want you to know, she was a handful. She was a handful. She would not go quiet into that dark night. In fact, she would not leave the judge alone. She went time and time and place again. Can you imagine? Right outside of his house, I told you about the gate out front. She was outside there at the gate holding up a sign that says, help me. You could find her at the courthouse, in the hallways, as people were milling about. And when the judge walked by, she would say, can I have just a minute of your time, sir? Just a minute. That's all I need. Maybe she showed up at his favorite lunch spot. She got past the one who serves and seats and she said to him, sir, I know you're having lunch with an important person today. Could I ask for just a favor? Could she have showed up in the courtroom, sat in the chambers on the front there in the courtroom? Could she be saying, as the trial was going on, excuse me, judge, I know you have a case here, but I have a case too. Would you hear it? She even showed up at the golf course. Came around on hole number 4 from outside the bushes where they tee off. And she said, sir, I have a request. I need something from you. She bothered the judge. She bothered his wife. She bothered his secretary, so much so that the secretary finally said, you have got to do something about this woman. So she had a meeting. He had a meeting with her. One on one. She wants a small favor. Again, we don't know what it is. And she tells a story that would have included these words, I'm a widow, I'm broke. It would have had the words land, inheritance, and maybe even eviction notice. He listens to her story. But remember this about him. He's not afraid of God. And he doesn't care about people, but she gets to him because she is wearing him out. She packs a mean right punch. Listen, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, he says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, here is how this next line is interpreted. So that she may not wear me out with continued blows under the eye. So that she may not wear me out, choir, with continued blows under the eye. I mean, if you're the judge in town, you don't want to show up at the golf course, at the lunch place, at the courtroom, at the country club with two black eyes, do you? His motivation is not justice. His motivation is freedom. Get her away from me. So I will give her what she wants. She walks away dancing, and he stays in the courtroom with his head and his hands and wondering, how did she get to me like that? And I have to wonder, what's a story like this in the Bible? Why is this story here? A dishonest judge? An unrelenting woman, no compassion. Is there a message here? I think there is. It's stay with me. Our lesson begins with the words of introduction. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. I think in part it's there to tell us that we are not to lose heart in whatever we ask God for. Certain parables are what we might call comparison parables. Hear me out. For instance, Jesus says, God is like a sower of seeds. He goes out and he throws seeds among the ground. God is like that sower. He's just like that. You remember he tells a story one day about a man who had two sons. One was a prodigal, left for the far country. The other stayed there right at home until the younger brother came home, and then he was really upset about that. God is like, he can be compared to, the father in that story who had two sons who he both dearly loved. Now, are y'all with me? Comparison. But what we have in this parable is a contrast. And this is the best example that I could find of a contrast. God, are y'all with me, is not like this judge. He's nothing like this judge. Luke puts it this way, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones? Will he delay long in helping them? Will he not give us justice? The answer, of course, is God is not like that judge. God is a God who loves us and cares for us and will quickly answer our needs. Now, I'll have to say, in years past, I would have read this parable and I would have said, be like the widow, pester God, show up at the golf course, show up at the lunch plates, show up in the courtroom, pray, pray, pray. But I've had a change of heart after reading it this time. Luke tells us that he told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. I think that it is easy sometimes to lose heart in our prayer life. I mean, we pray and we pray and we pray and we wonder, God, are you listening? Do you hear what I'm asking for? I need this. I remember baptizing a man in his 60s years ago, and his wife said to me, I've been praying for this day for 40 years, for my husband's baptism. Sometimes the answer to a prayer is yes, and sometimes it's no, and usually it's wait a while. And what do we learn in the waiting? So it's easy to lose heart. And I think this is also a story about faith. Deeper faith, we've been thinking about that now the third out of 4 weeks. Trust that God will and God will take care of us. That is what this lesson is about. The last line simply says, but when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? We can be faithful in our prayer life. Amen? Are y'all out there today? There's a story a preacher tells about her granddaughter's birthday party. You ever been to a birthday party for a kid? You know, there's cake and there's ice cream and there's presents. It comes to that time in the party where it's time to blow out the candles and to make a wish. And her grandmother is watching her as she's about to do that. And her mom says, aren't you going to blow out your candles and make a wish? She says, I don't know why I keep doing this. The grandmother says, doing what? She says, this wishing thing. She said, last year I wished that my best friend wouldn't move to another state, but she did. She said, and I wish that my mom and dad would get back together. They're divorced. And the mom says, that's not going to happen. And she says, I know, but I don't know why I keep doing this wishing thing. And the grandmother, who's a preacher, decided not to make a big point about it, but to put it in her cap And to say later, if she ever said, I don't know why I do this praying thing, that she would teach her. And she would say that the most important thing about our prayer life is our relationship with our God. Amen? And she would say that I want you to beg for things the way you beg your mother, asking for something. Yeah, this ever happened? 100 different ways. Mom, I need this. Right? You ever done that? Yeah. Mama, please, I need this. All my friends have this, right? She says, I hope that my granddaughter will long for God the way that she longs for her daddy, who isn't in the house anymore and longs to see him at his seat. And I will ask her, which makes you feel better, when you are praying or when you're not? And I hope that she'll say, of course, when I'm praying, grandmother, I want these things for you. I want you to know that above everything else, our prayers are about our relationship with God. Amen? God is not like the judge in the story. Are y'all clear? He is like the loving father who had two sons and daughters and who said to them, welcome home.